So, good evening, my juicy pineapples. This is the Candid Show brought here by host Sri Ramakrishna with me as my co-host today. So, once again, we are gathered today to do another episode of Bantorama where we've picked up three contemporary things and we're probably going to talk about it a bit, kind of discuss. Because usually our Bantorama topics are something which something is in the past or we just discuss about random things. But this time, I've picked up three news articles or something which is currently relevant to us right now. So, the first thing which I kind of want to talk about is an issue regarding Joe Rogan. So, Joe Rogan, as we all know, is pretty much the face of Spotify. Like, if you don't know him as a podcaster, if you don't know who he is, one word to describe him is that he's the face of Spotify. Like, pretty much his growth on Spotify has been absolutely amazing. And he's like the poster boy of Spotify in a way.
Yeah, he's been there for like 10 or 12 years, right?
Pretty much, right? And it has taken him a long time to get here because he wasn't solely a podcaster always, right? He was an entertainer, he was a comedian sometimes, and he was also an MMA commentator. So he's got a lot of roles he's juggling. Yeah. But recently, or in the sense that this incident took place last February, I think so. But right now, or in the sense people now are starting to react to it because apparently he's been spreading a lot of misinformation on his podcast. So let me explain more about it. So in one of the episodes with one of his guests, we can see, I saw the actual clip by the way, and we can see him, Rogan, basically advising people, or in the sense that basically convincing people not to take the vaccine. And obviously he didn't mean it this way. He was basically trying to imply that children don't need vaccines anymore, or in the sense that, like, even if children get affected by COVID, it does not usually impact them that much. They are usually free from it, or in the sense that
it's
the
not
impact is not less.
Or
exactly. So, and this comment especially has received critical amount of backlash, and as a result, around 250 doctors actually have signed an official report asking Spotify to remove Joe Rogan or take some sort of serious action against him. But Spotify is basically caving in right now. They're basically silent about it, as you know, because
he's the face of the company.
Pretty much. So you are kind of stuck in this kind of like this paradigm where you don't know what to do.
Spotify is in a position like they have to equally balance all these kind of reports they are keeping against Joe Rogan, and they also have to support him in one way or the other. So like in 2020, right, so like they signed a contract of $100 million with Joe Rogan, which is a very big deal.
Like,
and
100 million is something, he's basically the face of Spotify in a way.
Yeah.
So obviously if you were to do any action against him, it would mean harm, or in the sense that it would basically destroy the company's reputation as a whole.
Yeah.
So what they have tried to do, or in the sense that what they are basically reacting to this, is that they are basically going to flag the episode and they are going to put in kind of like basically a disclaimer warning stating there is misinformation and people shouldn't follow this, etc.
Yeah, it's better to remove the whole episode, right? So like other than completely banning him from the platform.
But here's what I think. See, as we all know,
so we can't judge a person, right? So like If he has said something like misleading information about COVID-19 or vaccines or something else. So like if someone, you know, who is the face of the company, or not necessarily the face of the company, maybe it may also be like us. So like normal podcasters or someone like that. So like if any misleading information they are giving in their content, right? So like it is not fair to completely ban them from the platform. So it is right to, you know, suspend them for a little while and giving a warning.
True.
Or removing the episode out of this platform.
Yep.
So like these kind of activities can be done, and like giving the warning and suspending them for,
but obviously people are not satisfied with it, obviously there is this cancel culture ingrained.
This is cancel culture.
Yeah, so like we see it is peak cancel culture.
One small thing he done, so like everyone started
why people are so quick to react to things, you know, like why not have a discussion, why not like understand what he's saying. You would have also had some
episode which has controversy in it, so like in the past few years, but they don't dig it as they see this information.
True.
About COVID. So like when this COVID issue came and they saw what he has done, the misleading information, so like they point out each and every negative aspect
of his podcast.
So that is the one thing where they don't recognize his mistakes then and there. They only do it when a mass group of people kind of arise against the issue. So like that is the problem. This is what the problem of cancel culture is. And we can't also completely judge whose side is right, or like in layman terms we can say that whatever the reports they are keeping, that is kind of, it's not fair. Completely banning a person out of a media is something that I don't believe is fair.
Yep.
So like removing the episodes or giving them time or like a 1 month or 2 month time in which they can't upload the episode any episodes.
Yeah, some sort of temporary suspension. Ban, like what you told, maybe some sort of that action should have been taken place. But again, but I think that there is free speech to everything. Like, you are entitled to your own opinions, and I think Spotify should not be able to censor you, or it should not be able to restrict what you want to talk and what you can't talk.
You lose the freedom of your speech.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we are all entitled to our opinions, and you, and Spotify is not, it's just a private company, and they don't have any rights to technically censor.
But also, these people will argue that how can you support a person who is giving misleading information about COVID-19 vaccines, which is very, you know, very critical thing. It's not something for a play or entertainment.
You know, but
or
technically
something.
It wasn't misleading. When you think about it, even now children don't have vaccines. Like, in the sense that we don't encourage children to take COVID-19 vaccines, right?
Yeah.
The only problem with this statement was he made this statement last year. And last year, as we all know, was kind of like the peak of COVID. Like, we were pretty much in kind of like the middle of second wave. So the statement at that time had an impact now. So as you told, people were very negligent at that point of time. And when, obviously, when certain things came to light, as you told, he's being barrassed for it now.
He's been kept in a bad light where he's been pictured as a very bad person like his character is not, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This has kind of turned into politics in the game.
Yeah,
because.
Sure.
Basically, the right is kind of talking, kind of making an assumption that
this is a very good chance for doing politics.
Exactly, that's what is happening right now, because we can see the left and right basically using this issue to their own advantage and basically opposing people, opposing their respective agendas, etc., etc. So, all things considered, like, I guess the moral of the story is that you cannot talk anything blatantly, in the sense that you have to be very careful of what you speak. Like, we are at that point of time where anything you speak, for instance, it may be knowingly or unknowingly, you are going to get barraged for it. And even if you do say you're doing it unknowingly, you are still going to get barraged for it. So, like, I don't know, like, as I told, I guess people are very quick to react to things, and I suppose we allow them a little bit of time to explain their side of things, maybe consider their side of the story before immediately jumping on them and basically...
It's because mainly I think I hate this idea of people kind of, giving their opinions about these kind of issues where some person has done something, some popular person has done something. So they don't aim for people like us. They only aim for people who are in very big position. So like, that is very, they voice out their opinion only if a group of people kind of join.
Yep.
And if it is trending or something like that, they kind of come forward to barrage the person, as you say. So like, they don't individually keep on opposing their views.
There is this mob mentality, right?
Yeah. Like, even if it happened like 20 years ago, right? So like, they dig the news and they kind of speak it till date. So like, it is something that the people have this common mentality, right? So like, if you are the only person kind of opposing the Joe Rogan or someone, like, so like, nobody would have cared about
you.
Yeah,
you cannot oppose anybody in
nobody
position
would have
of
cared
power
about
as a sole
you.
Person. Yep.
So like, a mass amount of people have gathered and created it as some kind of a trend. So like, you also want to join. So like, people like
join the bandwagon. Yes.
Yeah, that is what the problem is. Yeah.
So that was one part of the thing which I wanted to talk about, kind of discuss, I suppose. So next thing which I had in mind is about the budget, like the 2022 budget, because as we all know, one of the biggest things which happened in the budget was crypto being legalized officially, and there is going to be this 30% tax bracket on any profit or any sort of assets which you declare against any sort of digital currency. I'm not trying to say crypto here, because I think there's another confusion there, because people have been assuming that this 30% tax applies strictly only to crypto, but that is not the case. It applies to any digital currency, so that may include NFTs,
any digital asset,
pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's the, and they are also planning to, and this is basically in response to the fact that they are going to basically issue a new currency of their own, central bank of digital currency, if I'm not wrong, CBDC. So that's going to be a new form of cryptocurrency which India is going to be bringing in. And obviously, you can't use it as legal tender again, because again, I think that would create a lot of problems in the economy. So right now, they are only strictly bringing in the concept, I suppose. So there are a lot of advantages. There's a lot of bright side to this thing, I suppose. And one of the biggest things which I think is that India is officially starting to legalize crypto. We are officially starting to understand the crypto's, the market of crypto, starting to understand its effects, because because when you think about it, 2 or 3 years ago, most of us didn't even know what
it was seen as something illegal.
Exactly, and that was because people didn't understand what was decentralization. They didn't understand the basic idea behind cryptocurrency. They didn't understand blockchain. So now, from this being legalized, I think people start to have a little more trust in it, right? It's not going to be a stranger investing in some random currency, etc., coin, etc. So now
the government is officialized the
pretty
process.
Much. So there is a seal of guarantee given by the government, and so that's one of the biggest news, I think. So one of the biggest factors of this. And again, the second biggest thing which I see from this is that this is going to support Web3, because Web3, as we all know, is going to be the next big thing, and we'll probably talk about Web3 as well. I think that's a very big concept which I want to talk about.
We have to do it like a standalone episode.
Yeah, we've coupled it with NFT and Metaverse as well. All those three things combined together. So, as I told, this is going to push Web3 in an amazing level, because as we all know, Metaverse and Web3, all of these things are kind of coherently mixed together, and this is definitely going to help ease into the concept, or help people ease into the idea of Metaverse as a whole. And I think that's the second biggest advantage. And third is that we are starting to go more and more on the technological end of financing.
Digital money.
Like, yes, pretty much.
Digital assets.
Digital assets. Like, comparing to the 10 or 20 years ago, wherein there was no sign of digital finance in general, we have banks are themselves pretty much digital now. We have something called neobanks, which are basically virtual banks. So, to be able to think that everything is going digital and everything is going to technology is definitely a good sign, I suppose.
Yeah.
Obviously, there
the
is a chance.
The main aim of it is, completely abolishing the physical money.
Pretty much. See, that's like the end goal,
digital,
I suppose. Yes.
And there are many advantages of this. So, you don't have the, fear of, managing all these physical assets you have. So, everything is digital. And at the same time, the security you have on digital is also pretty much high.
Yep.
So, that is the main part. And talking about this budget, right? So, about this 30% tax on all the kind of digital assets you own.
Mm-hmm.
So, the downfall which most of the people kind of would face, or they would keep in front of them, would be probably like it was not non-taxable before, and each and every asset you have, the government owns 30% of it. So most of the investors, small investors, won't kind of come forward to purchase all these digital assets because of the tax issue. And at the same time, similarly, you can see at the polar opposite of this, big investors kind of, they don't have any kind of in a problem with this tax, and they always aim for big assets. So the 30% of the tax doesn't spoil their transaction they make, or whatever the assets they are planning to buy or something. So it is like a two sides of coin.
But again, as you told, I don't think small investors are going to shy away from crypto. I think there is another side you could look at it, wherein since there is a tax bracket to this, I think it's going to make it much more legal, right? There's going to be much more trust in it. So I suppose small investors will be more eager to actually get into crypto, in my opinion, because that tax bracket, or in the sense that the legalization the government has provided, is going to give a certain amount of security trust for people, or trust, etc., basically to invest more into this space. So yes, that was, I think, another very big thing regarding the finance of the country, and it is a pretty big move for India, I suppose.
Economically,
I suppose, and we'd only see its impacts probably in the near future when we see more of NFTs and more of Metaverse companies, etc.
The booming stage, right?
Yes, so we are basically kind of like the baby stages, I suppose. So the last topic, or I guess the last thing which I want to talk about, is this new sensation, this game basically, which is called as Wordle. So very few people know about it, and it is very popular on Twitter right now. So in a nutshell, it is a word game. That's pretty much it. You get six chances.
And you have a five-letter word.
That's it. You have six. It's basically random, right? You just have to randomly put in words. And also an important thing is that you're only allowed one word per day.
Yeah. To guess.
Yes.
Correctly,
in the sense that if you guess one word, that's pretty much the game. No, you get six attempts to guess one word, and once you find out the word, or if you exhaust your six attempts, it is done for the day.
Hours,
yes. It's basically like word of the day. You are supposed to guess the word of that particular day. So that's kind of like the idea of the game.
It's a very good strategy, I see, because each and every game, right? So if they come into the booming stage, or they are in the trending position where they get more downloads or wide reach among the people, so they don't last for long. The best example I can say is Among Us. So it was
true
at the peak of its the gaming community where when it released.
Yep.
So for 4 or 5 months it was at the peak. So you know, having a limit of what you can do per day is something that all these game developers
exactly
can have it add as an advantage. So
but like, it is very difficult to come up with concepts like that, you know, because I think
only one word per day and you get only 6 chances to guess it, and if you are done done guessing the word, you only can do it the next day.
Yes.
So like each and every day you have this temptation to go and find out the word in
there
minimum
is scarcity,
attempts as
exactly
possible.
The kind of scarcity drives you to play it more and more. I think that's the most fascinating aspect of this. So to give a little bit of background behind how this game came into being, so this was basically created by a guy called Josh Wardle, basically. And he created this game basically to his wife as a gesture, because his wife loved spelling bees, cryptic crossword puzzles, etc, etc. So it was a very warm gesture done by him. And incidentally, the name of the game, Wardle, is derived from his last name, Wardle. So that's where the name came from. So he's not a new game. Like, this guy has been kind of like this software engineer for Reddit, I suppose, a very famous platform, and he's done a lot of things for Reddit. And this game was basically something which he was bored in lockdown and he chose to do it. So that was kind of like, I guess, the origin story. And so that a pretty cool story, I suppose, because in this time where
a game for your love,
and it became insanely popular, because the day he created, he shared it to his family WhatsApp groups and etc, etc. Like, a few more people were playing. And just by like 1 or 3 or 4 months, around 90,000 people were playing it. So it became instantly a hit, because as we all know, word games have always been popular, I think so. Because you don't need any sort of scientific acumen or any
but
sort
the
of
reach
knowledge.
Is limited, but
it's actually,
game,
it is actually the opposite case. Because if I tell you one, the BTS, you know, right, like the Korean K-pop band, has actually made a kind of like change the game up to suit their terminologies. So basically BTS Wordle. So such a big K-pop brand, such a big influence in the world, has chosen to adopt something like this. So you know, it is a hit. Like, I guess there is no question about it. And you know, concepts like these sometimes are very surprising to see, you know. Like, we see big games such as PUBG, like big name games which are popular all the time.
It gets boring after you play for
exactly
a long period of time.
Yes, but there is no, you don't get bored to it. There is just no curve of boring in this, and I really love it. And also another thing is that you can share this game online. Like, you can actually share the amount of tries it took you to basically find out the word and share it on Twitter, thereby even basically much better way of marketing, right? Like, so you don't actually need to market the game.
Yeah.
The game markets for itself. So yeah, that was another small thing which I wanted to talk about. It is a pretty cool game. I think I'll give the link of that in the description below. We'll link it down.
Yeah.
So we ask you to check that out. So yeah, that should be a wrap for this episode. Regarding the YouTube side of things, I'll leave the link for that game in the YouTube description down below. And you know the usual drill, we have the account on Spotify. Please follow us on Spotify, and the same thing goes for Anchor as well. And yeah,
the square thingy on your face.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So I'll have that square on my face, and we link it to two other videos which we found really good. So that's pretty much the end, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.